for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
John Fletcher of Brownsburg, Indiana, is the teacher of the afternoon.
Don't give Tony a hand just because he's Tony. Give Jesus a hand. Amen.
Hallelujah. George, I really enjoyed that word this morning. That was, I guess I should say, Jesus, I really enjoyed that word this morning. Man. Well, we have enjoyed being here this week, and we're leaving after the service today, so I thank you for all of your attention and your kind comments to me, and I just ask the Lord to bless you and keep you. If you would turn in your Bibles to Genesis 1, let's, the Bible says that George mentioned today and the reference that he made to it, that God changes not, amen? God does not change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Malachi says, God says, I change us not. Let's look at the seedbed of faith and the seedbed of God's principle and his intentions. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Verse 28. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So, four things there that God intended for man. Number one, God, or the way God moves and his intention in our lives, if you will. Number one, God blesses. Amen? Notice, when did God bless Adam and Eve? After they had done something for him? Well, no. I mean, think of this. I mean, here is Adam and Eve created, still looking around at all the wonders, probably looking at themselves, wondering how, couldn't believe how glorious they are. Very, very childlike. The Bible says the first thing God does is blesses them. Didn't have to do nothing. And when George came over doing the little parable about the candy bar this morning, you know, I have to admit it's selfish. I love to do things for my kids. I mean, I just love their reaction. And unfortunately, they're getting older where they don't react like they used to. So I always relate back to the little child, you know, when they were like this. Don't you remember when your kids were like this? I got to be quiet. She just walked in. Anyway. No. And so while you were still a sinner, God blessed you and loved you first. And so after God blesses, what's the next thing he wants? He says, I want you to reproduce. Make disciples, other sons of God. So I first loved you, and you love me, and I have given you all you need now to make disciples, to make other sons of God. And then the next thing he says, to fill and subdue the earth. And the last thing is have dominion. Now, turn if you will. Let's look at the dominion part. Turn if you will to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. Now, you remember, I'm certain most of you in this auditorium would remember today that Nebuchadnezzar had a vision. And it started out with the vision and then it just went from there. And Daniel continued to have visions and what have you. And so we get to this vision. And in verse 21, or in this particular chapter, Daniel is interpreting his vision is being interpreted for him, and we get to verse 21. I'm not going to go into the whole thing. There's a lot here, but let's begin with verse 18. Let's look up there first. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. All right, now Luke says that it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And so here we have Daniel prophesying in a vision, showing a vision where the saints of the Most High will possess, they'll receive a kingdom and they will possess the kingdom. Now look at verse 21. I was watching and the same horn was making war against the saints, prevailing against them. That's what we call the Antichrist. We affectionately call the Antichrist. I think some people affectionately call him the Antichrist today. They like to talk so much about him. But anyway, verse 22. Until something happened, until the Ancient of Days came and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came. Now listen carefully. There is a time coming. It has not come yet for the totality of it, for the fullness of it. But the time is coming when totally the saints will possess the kingdom. Now look over in verse 26 and 27. But the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his, the fourth beast's dominion, to consume it and destroy it. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. So what we have, the last thing that's going to happen, folks, is that what Jesus started 2,000 years ago, remember when he first came and said, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand? The kingdom of God began to come in. What the kingdom of God was doing, what Jesus came to do, he was beginning to possess, I always like to say repossess, the kingdoms of this world. And the consummation of it is going to be when the kingdoms of this world, all of them, have become the kingdoms of our God. And we, all of those who are sons of God, overcomers, whatever you want to call them, whatever your terminology is, those saints who have not bowed their knee and have done certain things, and we'll talk about some of these things again, they will possess that final kingdom, and they are that final kingdom. And as you'll see in a little bit, that final kingdom is the kingdom that will bring in the consummation of the kingdoms of this world becoming the kingdom of our God. I used to be taught that the kingdom of this world will not become the kingdoms of our God until Jesus Christ returns, and then we'll all, of course, we would have been raptured with him, and we'll come back at that point, and that's when everything will happen. And up until that time, the devil's going to have a heyday, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And you know, evil is going to get worse and worse. But I want to tell you something. The power of God is going to be revealed more and more and more. I want to tell you something, folks. God does not react to the devil. The devil reacts to God. It's not... And get this straight. It's not that the devil all of a sudden is saying, boy, I'm going to make evil worse and worse and worse. I've got these Christians on the run. No, let me tell you what's going on. The consummation, the timetable that God has allowed for man and the devil to operate and try to possess and repossess this world, and I always say that the lease that the devil has, the time is running out. And so God, in his workings, is beginning to move evermore to the closing down of the devil's land lease that he has here. And as he is pulling the curtain back more and more, the veil is coming back more and more to the revelation of the sons of God. And what is happening is the devil is reacting to that. As he sees the coming forth of the people of God to repossess and to bring in the consummation of the kingdom, as he sees God moving in the way that God is moving, the devil is reacting. It's not God reacting to the devil. Don't doubt for one moment that God, I know you don't, God's plan is going to come into fullness. And I want to be a part of it. Do you? Amen. So that talks about the dominion part. We're going to have dominion. And it also says to fill and subdue the earth. That was number three, actually, there in Genesis 3. The psalmist says that there's a day coming when the whole earth will be filled with the glory of God. Amen? As a matter of fact, the Bible says the earth is full of the glory of God now. But there's coming a day when the whole earth is going to be filled with the glory of God. And how are you going to do that, God? How's that going to happen? Boy, and don't get me wrong. In no way, shape, or form am I taking the place or suggesting that Jesus Christ is not coming back. But, you know, I really do want more for my daughters than I have. I really do. I want my daughters to have a lot. I want them to have their own identity. And I want them to have, I want them to be, in a human sense, I want them to do very well. And you know, God wants us to do very well. You know why I have that in me for my daughters? Because I'm made in the image of God. And I really believe this. You know, correct me if I'm wrong. I really believe that's in us because it's in God. And as I read the Bible, I see fathers saying, oh, I want so much for my kids. It's just that I think we're the ones that think, oh, God, you don't want much for us. But anyway, listen to this. When Jesus Christ comes back, the whole earth is going to be filled with the glory of God. And I think a lot of people have the idea that Jesus somehow is going to, his glory is going to go forth in all the earth from him, like some kind of a laser beam or something. I don't know. Turn to Isaiah 60, because the glory of God is going to fill the whole earth. But look how it's going to happen. Isaiah chapter 60. Verse 1, this is a prophecy. Arise, shine, sons of God, Christians, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. How many believe that darkness is here? But the Lord will arise over you, and listen, and His glory will be seen upon you. Now that's how the glory of God is going to fill the whole earth, because His people are going to fill the whole earth, and His glory is going to be seen upon them, through them, out of them. It goes on to say, the Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. I'm telling you, He's talking about us there. The Gentiles will come to your light. Why will they come to your light? Because the light that you have is the light of Jesus Christ. And if you put it all together, the reason why it will be the light of Jesus is because you will have come to that place, Isaiah 10:20 says, where you will no longer depend on the guy that's been defeating you. You will depend solely on your God. You will have been crucified to self. You'll be dead to self. You won't want any of God's glory. You will be a conduit from Him. Right through the soul, right through the body, there'll be no hindrance whatsoever. You will have come to that place, as you'll see in a little bit. God is going to bring you to a place, whoever that last generation is. And let me tell you what I believe. I believe that those who are sitting in this room, I don't care if you are 75, you will be one of two things. You will either be the last generation that will physically experience this, or, at the very least, you will be the generation that will prepare the generation that will be that last generation. One of two things, and I truly believe that. Do you understand what I'm saying? You'll either be the generation that you will literally see the glory of God shining, I believe, through you. I really believe that's literal. Or you will be the generation that will prepare the generation coming to do that. And that's exciting to me, either one. I'd rather be number one, I have to admit. I'd rather be the first one. But if I'm the generation that's going to prepare, then I'll prepare. Because I'm going to tell you something, folks. The Lord told me 2 years ago, and I shared this with you before, begin to prepare my people. Begin to prepare my people. And what I taught you these last three times I've taught, and what I'm going to teach today, is part of the things that God has shown me. So anyway, His glory, and that's how it's going to be filled. And of course, you know, you see in Revelation 21, you see the bride coming down, having the glory of God on her. Amen. So even before the fall of Adam and Eve, they had the charge to subdue the earth. Daniel prophesies and said, "It is already settled. There is a time coming when the kingdom will fully and completely be given to us." It's already settled. Now look, if you will, at Luke 19 and 13. Luke chapter 19, verse 13. get through that stuff, and we'll get into the good stuff now. I thought that was pretty good stuff as far as what we got coming, amen. Abba, Father, Daddy's got a lot planned for us. Now, Jesus said in verse 12, there's a certain nobleman, and he went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, occupy till I come. And then it goes on to say in verse 14, but his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Now stop there just a second and don't miss this. The nobleman had left, right? He was leaving. So why were the citizens saying, we will not have this man to reign over us? He was going. It was because of his servants. He had given them full reign. And if you'll receive this, if you have ears to hear, people, listen. You have, right now, full reign over things on this planet. It's like George was saying today. We've got 7 zillion things that keep us from doing and fulfilling and using all the authority that God has given us. The people don't want us to reign over them, but Jesus has given us all authority in heaven and earth. He says, I have all authority in heaven and earth. Now you go and you make disciples, and I'll be with you always. Now look at Luke 10:19. He says, and you are to occupy until I come back. And then Luke 10:19. Now, the King James says, behold, I give you authority to, I give you power to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Now, if you look up in a concordance, the word, the first power is different from the second power. And so I like what the New King James has put down. It says, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Glenn was telling me a story about a fella who, wouldn't told him that he had to sell books, or he couldn't sell certain books. And this was when he was with somebody else, and Glenn said, I don't answer to you. I answer to so-and-so. That's who my authority is. This guy did not have the authority to stop Glenn from selling those books. Now, the other guy had the authority to stop Glenn from selling those books. Now listen carefully. Let me tell you why I like the word authority, but I give you power over power of the enemy. That's true, but the reason why I like the word authority better is for this reason. The enemy has power. He has power. He can come in and do a lot of things. But you know what you have? You have authority over his power. And you can say, okay, now, let me get this straight. You want to take your power and you want to put cancer in this lady's body. Is that what you want to do? You want to take your power and put well, seeing as how I'm the boss here, seeing as how I'm reigning, seeing as how I have authority, you can't do that. I cancel your assignment because I have authority. I'm your boss, demon. I have authority over your power. So no, you're not going to do that. Oh, you've come and you're trying to mess up her life? With your power, yes, you have power, but I got authority over your power. I cancel your assignment. And I have that kind of authority. You have that kind of authority. And my goodness, he's given us weapons and tools to take and use. And but you know what we have to be? And I mean, it sounds like I'm mimicking George, but I got this at 4:30, 5 o'clock this morning. We have to be aggressive. Most of you were here when the little Mexican ladies were here yesterday. And we kept saying to her, come on, fight back. Fight back. Get tough. I wanted her to get tough with the demons. I wanted her to be aggressive. Why? Because that's a biblical principle. That's why. Look at Matthew 11 and 12. It's a biblical principle. Matthew 11 and 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. We need to be aggressive. We have an enemy. We have a powerful enemy. But I got all authority over his power. And he's a rebellious employee.
To say the least, that is kind of an understatement, isn't it? But that's okay. I still got authority. I'm still in charge. He's not. Why am I in charge? Because the Creator of all things, including Him, put me in charge. Put you in charge. He says, I give you authority over His power. Now take it by force. Get aggressive. So, let's go back to the first day. John 14 and 12. The works that I do, you who believe in me. Now, I want everybody here to raise your hand. Come on, be like little children. How many here believe in Jesus? I'm so glad you raised your hand, brother. I thought we got a missionary down in Venezuela that doesn't believe in Jesus. No. So we all raise their hand. Now, listen to what Jesus says to you. Okay? He or she that believes in me, the works that I do, you'll do. And greater works than these you will do. Okay? Now, how did Jesus do His works? Through the anointing. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with power and the Holy Spirit, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Then we go back to 1 John 3:8. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that He might destroy the works of the devil. Now stop there. We have this theology, and it's true. You don't mind if I keep saying, listen to what George said. Listen to what George said this morning. Now God said it first. Well, amen. But you know, let God be true and every man a liar. I mean, it's impossible for God to lie. So we've got this theology that says Jesus Christ came into the world to die for your sin. What's wrong with that? He did. Yes, He did. But the title that fell under, if you will, was 1 John 3:8. He came into the world to destroy the works of the devil, and the way He destroyed the works of the devil was He died for the sins of the world. That was one of the ways He destroyed. Do you see what I'm saying? You see, when we say Jesus came into the world to die for the sins of the world, obviously, that's big. I mean, that's it. Yes, He did. But you see, that kind of thinking is not foreign to us. But what is foreign to us is 1 John 3:8, that He came into the world. For this purpose, hello, the Son of God was Irma knows, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. That's what God says. Quit saying everything else. Get it in order. So, if Jesus came from heaven, made Himself of no reputation, etc., was obedient unto death, why did He do all of that? Why did He die on the cross? Why did He leave us all this power and authority? For the stated purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Thank you, Mr. Martin. Now, with all that said, 1 John 2:20, you have an anointing. And Isaiah 10:27 says, the anointing, whether it is Jesus' anointing in the flesh or your anointing here and now, breaks, lifts burdens. It destroys the works of the devil. Even as evil, as I said, waxes worse and worse, I got ahead of myself earlier, the unveiling of the Son of God is ever more prominent. The veil is being removed more and more upon us so that we are becoming more and more visible on planet Earth. What an exciting time to live and to get in on the action. I want to tell you something, and I'm not, in no way am I lifting myself up, but I want to tell you, you're very fortunate to be here this week. And you need to take back with you to your churches. And if you're not in a church, you need to get in a church, if for no other reason, just to take this message with you. To let people know they have an anointing. They're to be doing the works of God. The kingdom of God is here, and it's being unveiled more and more and more. And God is going to bring the kingdoms of the world down out there, and you're part of that. We need to be about our Father's business. What is our Father? Jesus says, listen, I need to be about my Father's business.
Well, Jesus, what is Father's business? It is to destroy the works of the devil. That's Father's business on planet Earth. And of course, the more we die to ourselves, listen, the more we're crucified with Christ, the more the life of Jesus will manifest through our bodies. And the more His life manifests, guess what? The more the works of the devil are going to be destroyed. But, listen, we have to be authoritative. We have to know who we are in Christ, where we stand in Christ, what He has given us. And we have to go from, well, I hope so in the name of Jesus, to I know so in the name of Jesus. And that's why I said the first night, we have got to get set free of every sin and every weight that so easily besets us. So we can be like Jesus and we can let Jesus come through and then we can be about Father's business also. We can destroy the works of the devil. And we can take back the kingdom that Adam and Eve gave up on planet Earth. Let me tell you something. When Jesus came to planet Earth, He hit the ground running. When He started His ministry, He said, repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, all right, everybody, you've been just walking along blind, following after the devil, letting him just have his way with you. Now repent. Turn around. Start following me because Father has a job for us to do. And Father says our job is to take back the kingdoms of this world. We are to be about Father's business, destroying the works of the devil. Have I said that before? I will. Now, we talked about last night one area, and I don't know how you all prayed last night, but the Lord told me, for those that were here this morning, were to pray a prayer at this point. You remember last night, in James 1:22, made such an emphasis about being doers of the Word and not hearers only, because when we hear the Word and we're not doers, we deceive ourselves. And when you deceive yourself, you're in deception. And it doesn't matter where the deception comes from, whether it comes from yourself or the devil, you've opened the door to deception. And you remember I asked the question, how many times have we been to services? How many times have we heard a word? How many times have we heard? And we've even, unfortunately, we may have even made commitments. Oh, yes, praise God, I'm going to die to self. Oh, praise God, yes, I'm going to start tithing. Oh, praise, I'm going to start, and then we walk away, look in the mirror, and do nothing about it. We forget. We get busy. And when you did that, God said in James 1:22, you deceived yourself. What the Lord told me we need to do, and why we didn't do it last night, I thought we were supposed to do it last night, but He clearly said no. And I really don't know why. But when He woke me up this morning and started giving me this message, He said, do this at this point. And I'm going to lead you in a little prayer, and you're going to ask for repentance about the times that you have deceived yourself and opened the door for into deception. You're going to ask the Lord to forgive you, and you're going to ask the Lord to close the door on all those deceptions. And I'm going to ask Gene to come up. The Lord told me to do this, and have him lead you in a prayer against deceptive spirits. But now listen carefully to me. You put yourself, George Wingate did us a horrible thing this morning. He spoke the word to us and put us in a position to receive deceptive spirits. What do you mean? Well, I was here and I heard the word. Somewhat while I'm preaching here about how we need to take authority over spirits, how we need to quit lifting up. We've got to start lifting up Jesus. That was a word. Bless his heart. I bet he didn't even know he was putting us in a position to receive deceptive spirits. But listen carefully, and this is how serious this is. You heard the word. If you don't become doers of the word, bless our hearts, but we deceive ourselves, and this is serious stuff. I'm telling you, this is so you. You know, oh, I want to go hear brother so-and-so preach. Oh, well, sister so-and-so. And you sit there and just all happy and dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee and sing their songs and everything. And they bring forth the word and you hear the word and you, oh, and you cry and you get up and you walk away and you don't become a doer of the word. You deceive yourself. And the
door is open. This is serious, and you need to go back to your churches, and you need to tell the people, you better get serious about this. We're coming down to the end, and we've been sitting around for years listening to the Word and hearing the Word and reading the Word and buying the books and the Word and the Word and the Word, and then we don't do it. We're living in deception. Why don't I get free? Why don't I do this? Well, we got deceptive spirits in us. They do multiply. And so every time we hear the Word and don't, I'm telling you, we got to get serious about this thing. God is serious about it. You know, in the passage in Luke that Jesus said, strive to enter into the door. Well, that door is narrow, and many will try to enter in, but few will be able to. Why? Well, the word strive is a Greek word that is agonizomeo. I think that's how you pronounce it. But did you hear an English word there, agonize? And it means distressful. You look it up in Strong's, it means distressful. It means dangerous. The word narrow itself means distressful and dangerous. Jesus said in Matthew and Mark, that way there will be few. And obviously, Jesus didn't know what he was talking about. I mean, obviously, he didn't know what. He messed that up. I mean, it's not few that's going to go in, because I mean, we got millions just flowing in there. Now, they don't have much of a lifestyle change. But, you know, we got 20 million saved here, 20 million there. Now, you know, I saw a figure not too long ago where there's like 2.5 billion people on planet Earth that are Christians. That's half of the population of the world almost. That don't sound like few to me. But when you apply the passage in Luke that says, strive to enter in, it'll be stressful. It'll be agonizing. Wait a minute. I went to the altar, said the sinner's prayer, got up and praised God, had some goosebumps, and I'm saved. Let me tell you what we've done. Let me tell you where the deception is. The Lord showed me this about 3 months ago. Here's the deception. We brought them up to the door, and the devil has said, bring them to the door. Show them the door. You see the door? Oh, yeah. Oh, that Jesus. Jesus, isn't that great? Oh, yes. Don't you believe in the door? Oh, I believe in the door. Mm-mm. Boy, what a beautiful door. I want that door. Okay. Believe in the door. Say the sinner's prayer. There you go. You're in. Go on home. We brought them to the door, but we haven't taken them through the door. That's how deceptive he is, and that's how close he comes to the truth. And so we got people by the boatloads. And I've done this. They say the sinner's prayer. You baptize them. They're on fire for a little bit. And then after a month or so, they're scratching their head and saying, is that all there is to it? And so what do we do? What do churches do at that point? Well, naturally, we try and keep them in the fold. So we, oh, gee, they're leaving. Well, where are you going? Well, you know, I don't know. Is this all there is to it? I mean, you know, softball. I want to play softball. It's more fun. Well, no, don't you go. We'll start a softball league for you. And we'll get a church league softball. Well, my wife plays volleyball. We'll get volleyball then. Because we need your money. We need your money. We want to grow because that is successful. The bigger the church, the more successful the church. And let me tell you something. There's a whole lot of pride in us smaller churches. A whole lot of pride. Boy, you want to get into a true hornet's nest. You get into a little church that's got their little flock. And you try and move in on them. They got their little family dinners, you know. Oh, we have our little pitch-ins, and don't you try and mess it up either. We're little, we're poor, and we're proud of it. By golly. Yeah, try and steal my shit. Jealous men of every church on the block. That's not, let me tell you something, folks, that's not the spirit of Christ. I don't care how you put it, that's not the spirit of Christ. That's the spirit of the devil. Those are demons in there. God doesn't operate that way, and you know he doesn't operate that way. Why are we afraid to say there's demons in there? It is scary. But strive to enter in. Strive, and many will try to enter in, but few
few will make it. They won't be able to enter in, he says there in Luke. Why won't they be able to enter in? The brother had a vision. I'm going to tell you, I had a real witness to that. They were coming up to the door. They were carrying the cross. Can I share that part of it? They were carrying the cross, and they came up to the door. You know what the cross talks about? Carrying the cross, dying to self. And they were coming up to the door, and they couldn't get in with the cross. So they laid the cross down, and they went on in. And when they got inside, guess what? He said, man, there was all kinds of religious rankling going on in their arguments and, you know, that. Of course, they were going in without the cross. And they went over to the other door to go in, and it had a ring of fire around it. I mean, there was fire in the door. Refiner's fire, I believe. I took a rabbit trail there. I'm sorry. I did. Oh, the rabbit trail or the... Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, Jesus said. All right. Now, what I want to do, what the Lord wants us to do, we want to pray against the deception. I want to ask you to stand, Brother Gene. I'm going to ask you to come. Now, here, listen carefully what we're targeting this in on. If the Lord leads him in anything else, that's fine. But listen carefully. This is about the times you've heard the word, but you have not been a doer of the word. And I don't think, unless the Lord leads you differently, this is not trying to enumerate those and think back, well, when did I do this and when didn't I do it? No, I truly, if you're like me, it's been so many times, it'd be real difficult to enumerate what I have done and what I did. First thing I did, I repented. And I take it real serious. When I sat and listened to George this morning, that was going through my mind. Now, if I hear this, I got to do this. You want to be careful how you're saying amen all the time in some of these sermons. Because amen is saying, so be it, I heard it, I agree, I'll do it. And if you don't, deception, you deceive yourself. What the Lord wants us to do, and what's real, if you think about it, what's marvelous about this, what he's inviting, you do it, I'll forgive, I'll cleanse, I'll close the door.
Okay, if y'all would follow after me, Lord Jesus Christ, please forgive me for the times that I have heard the word, I have agreed to do the word, and I have not done the word. Please forgive me for all the times that I have fallen into deception through any action, through any thought, through any word, or through any deed. I ask your forgiveness for every sin that falls into this category. Lord Jesus, I do not want to be deceived. I want to get rid of deception. I want to have proper discernment. I want to agree with what you agree with. And not just what man tells me. Sharpen my intellect, Lord. Sharpen my discernment. Help me, Lord, not to fall into these traps. Now, Lord, I want to get rid of my deception and every deceiving spirit and that whole family, Lord. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And I command those spirits to come out of my brothers and sisters right now. Come out. Every deceiving spirit, the spirits of deception, where we've been deceived, where we've fallen so easily into these traps, we bind your power and we command you to come out in Jesus' name. Where we've agreed with false prophecy and false prophets, where we have agreed with the word of God and then not done it, now come out of us right now. Come out, the whole family of deceit and deception. Come out, every deceiving spirit, spirits of deceit and deception. We bind your power and we command you to come out of us now in Jesus' name. Now be gone. Be gone. That whole family, every root, memory, scar, nest, and habit, ruler, demon, and lesser demon, we bind your power and we cast you out of us in Jesus' name. Come out of us right now. Come out of us, mind, will, and emotions in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. The habits. I come against those habits of being deceived, the habits of deceit and deception. And I come against those spirits of irresponsibility where we where we don't take responsibility for discerning the Word of God, and where we don't take responsibility for judging the prophecies. Now, come out. The inability to judge prophecies, the inability to discern the Word of God. Come out of us right now in Jesus' name. We bind your power and we cast you out of us in Jesus' name. Every evil spirit, a spirit of falling into deception, deceit and deception, all this, all the traps that we've been set in, we break those traps, we break those curses, we cast those demons out in Jesus' name. We break every curse of deceit and deception that has come down upon us. We break those curses. And we break every soul tie with every false prophet and every false teacher. We break the soul ties with them in the name of Jesus Christ. We command those spirits to come out. Come out, spirits of soul ties that come in, false teachers, false prophets, all the falseness, the demons of falseness, every false gift, we break your power, we cast you out in Jesus' name. Now, come out, spirits of false gifts, we command you to go in Jesus' name. Now, come out, my brothers and sisters, come out, all these false gifts and false tongues and false prophecy, we bind your power and we cast you out in Jesus' name. Now, come out of us, loose us and set us free right now in the name of Jesus Christ. You have no choice, you will come out of us in Jesus' name. Come out, all falseness, all false teachings. Come out, all false teachings. We bind you and cast you out. And I break that tie. I break that tie between us and false teachers and false prophets and false pastors and so forth. I break the demonic tie. And I command those spirits of control to come out. Come out, spirits of witchcraft. I call out spirits of witchcraft. Come out, spirits of witchcraft. Domination, manipulation, control, witchcraft. We bind you and we cast you out of us in Jesus' name. Come out. I come against every spirit of manipulation. I command you to come out in Jesus' name. Come out, spirits of manipulation, domination, manipulation, control. Come out. All those Jezebelic spirits, we bind your power and we cast you out in Jesus' name. Come out. We break every demonic tie between dictatorial leaders. We break that tie and we cast you out in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out, all soul ties. We break all soul ties with demonic leaders and leaders who control people rather than giving them their free will. We bind you and we cast you out in Jesus' name. Now, come out. Come out. Loose them and set them free right now. Come out. Come out. That whole family of demons that comes in through demonic control, the Jezebelic Ahab complex, we bind you and we cast you out in Jesus' name. Now, come out. Come out. Loose my brothers and sisters and set them free in Jesus' name. You have no choice. You will go in Jesus' name. Lord, show me any other demons to call out. We bind your power. Now, come out. Every scar nest in heaven, ruler demon and lesser demon, every demon named and unnamed in these common demon groupings, come out. Come out, all domination, manipulation, control, witchcraft, Jezebelic witchcraft, come out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, loose them and set them free in Jesus' name. Now come out, all deceit and deception, deceiving spirits, every spirit of every deceiving spirit, deceit and deception, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, all deceit and deception, all falseness. We come against all falseness and false gifts and false doctrines, and we bind you and we cast you out in Jesus' name. Now, be gone, every spirit of falseness, and every trap that Satan has set, we break that trap, and we bind that trap, we cast those demons out, and we drive them back to the sender in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, be gone. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, loose us and set us free completely in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out, every spirit. We command you to manifest, identify, and reveal yourself as. We command you to come out. We demand a complete cleansing. Come out of all of us in Jesus' name. Now go. Go, come out of my brothers and sisters. Come out of me in the name of Jesus Christ. Everywhere we've fallen into a trap, and we break those curses. We send those demons back to the senders. We break every curse. We reverse every trap, every fiery dart that's been sent against us. We send it back in the name of Jesus. We pull those fiery darts out of us in Jesus' name. We pull them out of our mind, wills, and emotions, and we bind you, fiery darts, and we cast you back to the center. Now go. Go, all deceit and deception. Come out, spirits of deceit and deception, and all related spirits. We come against all related spirits of deceit and deception. We come against all play acting, affectation, pretension, theatrics, and so forth. Come out of us in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, play acting, affectations, pretension, falseness, false gifts. Come out. I come against all the false gifts, all the counterfeit gifts that come, all the counterfeit gifts by Jesus Christ. We come against those in Jesus' name. And we bind you and we cast you out and we drive you away in Jesus' name. Now come out. Every counterfeit gift, every false teaching, we come against damnable doctrines. We come against damnable doctrines and false teaching. Come out of us right now. Damnable doctrines and false teaching. Anything that doesn't line up with the Word of God, we bind your power and we cast you out. We drive you back in Jesus' name. Now go. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. Come out of us right now. Come out. All this falseness, where we've received falseness, And I come against those demons where we have compassion and we fall. We have compassion for someone that's false, and we fall into that trap, and I come against that. Where we follow someone because we have compassion on them, because we follow them because they're false, and we know that they're false, and we follow them because we have compassion and we love them, and we don't want to hurt their feelings. Now come out. Come out right now. Spirits of sentimentality. We bind you and cast you out and drive you away in Jesus' name. Come out. Spirits of sentimentality. I come against false emotions. Come out. False emotions. I come against false emotions and I bind you and I cast you out in Jesus' name. Come out. False emotions. I come against emotional inability to control our emotions. That's right. Come out right now. Inability to give and receive love. We bind you and we cast you out in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind you and we drive you out and we cast you out. Come out now. Loose them and set them free in Jesus' name. Now be gone. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out. All the falseness. I come against all the falseness that comes down through the leaders. I break every soul tie to the leaders. I break every soul tie to the leaders. And I command you to go in Jesus' name. Now come out. Come out. Come out of me in Jesus' name. Every soul tie to the leaders. We bind and cast you out in Jesus' name. Now go in the name of Jesus Christ. All dictatorial spirits that come down through dictatorial leaders, we bind and cast you out and drive you away in Jesus' name. Now come out. Come out. All those traps that are set for us, I come against that spirit of the love of money as the root of all evil. And I bind you and I cast you out in Jesus' name. Now come out. Come out. The love of money is the root of all evil. And loose them. Loose them and set them free in Jesus' name. Now be gone. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. The love of money is the root of all evil. All those traps that we fall into because of money. I come against all those demons that are sent to us because people are trying to get money from us. Those are the greedy preachers. I bind those demons where we're tied in with the greedy preachers. Now come out right now in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. All those demons tied in with the love of money is the root of all evil. We break that root. We sever that root. We cut that root. We can't... We cast those demons out in Jesus' name. Come out where we give to false preachers and so forth. Come out, all domination, manipulation, and control that comes down through money. We bind your power and we cast you out in Jesus' name. Go, domination, manipulation, and control that comes down through money, through giving our money, through not being good stewards, through giving our tithes and offerings to the wrong places. We bind those and we cast those out in Jesus' name. Where people have manipulated us and controlled us, through false teaching and through falseness, all type of false teaching. Now come out. Come out. Domination, manipulation, and control that comes down through the love of money. We bind your power and we cast you out in Jesus' name. Now come out. Come out. Loose my people and set them free in Jesus' name. We loose the spirits of love down upon the people. The love of God. We loose the love of God upon the people. The love of God down upon the people. Lord, show them that you love them. That you love them. You don't want them to fall into error. And I come against all that error. I come against all the error, the false error that comes in through. I come through books and through teaching and through. I come against all the demons that come into us through the video, through the audio, through books, through newspapers, through magazines. Come out of us in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. We bind your power and we cast you out of us in Jesus' name. Now come out. All these demons that come, I come against the demons that come in through the eye gate and that come in through the ear gate. Come out. All the falseness that comes in through the eye gate, that comes in through the ear gate, we bind and cast you out. And I come against all the demons that come in through our mouth where we speak these things and we bring curses on us. And I break those spoken curses. I break those spoken curses upon us in Jesus' name. I break those spoken curses right now in Jesus' name. Now come out of us. Come out of us, those spoken curses. I break your power and I drive you out in Jesus' name. Now be gone. Be gone. Every demon that comes in through the spoken curses, where we've cursed ourselves, we break those curses where we've cursed ourselves. So we curse ourselves by being deceitful. And I come against that deceitful spirit. I come against that deceitful spirit and I bind you and I cast you out in Jesus' name. Now come out. Come out, that deceitful spirit. Come out, the deceitful spirit. The family of deceitful spirits, we bind and cast you out and drive you away in Jesus' name. Now be gone. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. That deceitful spirit, come out, spirits of deceit and deception, that deceitful spirit, where we're actually deceitful, where we're deliberately deceitful, I call that spirit out in Jesus' name. Where we try to deceive others, come out where we try to deceive others. I come against those spirits where we try to please others. That's right, where we're false to please others, come out. come out all false compassion. And I come against all these spirits of all the spirits of boasting. Come out, spiritual boasting, spiritual adultery. We call you out, spiritual boasting, spiritual adultery. Come out. Come out, spiritual boasting and spiritual adultery. We call you out in Jesus' name. Come out, all pride, ego, and vanity. Spiritual pride, ego, and vanity. Come out of us in Jesus' name. Come out. Spiritual pride, ego, and vanity. We bind your power and we cast you out in Jesus' name. Now go. Spiritual pride, ego, and vanity. Come out of us in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind you and we cast you out in Jesus' name. Now go. Come out of us right now. I come against all flattery. I come against spirits of flattery. Come out where we flatter other people to gain, where we flatter them by telling them what they want to hear. Come out, spirits of flattering. We bind those parents. We cast you out, spirits of flattering. Come out, I come in spirits of lies and lying. Come out, spirits of lies and lying, deceit and deception. Go in Jesus' name. Go. Go, lies and lying, deceit and deception. We command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out of them all the way, all the families, all the works. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, send your angels in there with a sharp two-edged sword, capable of dividing spirit and soul asunder. And cut those demons' roots out, Father. And put a hook in their jaw and pull them out. And light a fire in them 10 times hotter than hell. And shine your light in them and give them no place to hide, Father. Lord, we call for all our spiritual warfare. We bind up every power within everyone in the name of Jesus. Every demonic power, we bind it up in the name of Jesus Christ. We rip you out. We forcefully eject you. We war against you in the name of... We take heaven. We take heaven by force. We take heaven by force. We take it away from Satan. God gives it to us, and we take it away from Satan. Now come out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come. Come out. We forcefully eject you. We kick you out in the name of Jesus Christ. Now be gone. Be gone. And we call for total all our spiritual warfare. We call for a cleansing in this area. And we demand every demon in this area to go in Jesus' name. Now be gone. Be gone. You have very little time left. You're going to be cast in the lake of fire. And there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And the worm shall never die. And the fire shall never be quenched. You're going to be cast in there with your master Satan. You've been total loneliness and total despair. You will bow your knee to Jesus Christ and do what he's telling you to do and go where he's telling you to go. You have no choice. We have power and authority over you. The Bible says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We exercise that power to set ourselves free. We have power and authority over you, demons. And that includes all demons, all imps of pain and so forth, all demons, all fallen angels. I command any fallen angels and anyone to go in Jesus' name. Any fallen angels or false, I command the fallen angels to go. I command the demons to go. I command the imps to go. We break every curse. We break every curse of falseness. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out, all fallen angels, all demons, all imps. Come out right now. We break the assignments from the second heaven to the first heaven. We break the assignments from the second heaven to the first heaven. We enter into all our spiritual warfare with no holds barred. We call for complete power and authority over these demons, Lord. Send legions of angels, Father, that they war for us. Well, Lord, we call for each person's personal angel. We call for legions of angels. We war in the heavenlies. And we have power over Satan. We bind you, Satan. We bind all of your lieutenants. We bind every lower demon. We bind all the enlisted men of the demons. We bind every rank of demon. We bind every rank, every authority, every commander, every rank of the satanic realm. We bind it as it has to do with us in this Lake Hammond Bible Camp. And what we're doing right here, we bind your power, Satan. We bind you. We bind your power, Satan. We bind you. You cannot send reinforcements down. You cannot send reinforcements. And Lord, I ask that you remove every loose demon from the air around us, Father. Escort the demons out and take them around to the dry places. Now, be gone. Be gone. Keep coming out in the name of Jesus Christ. Keep coming out. You have no choice. You will go in Jesus' name. Line up in rank and file in order and come out quickly. We bind every power that you have. We'll loose ourselves from you in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, come out. Come out of the people right now. Go. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. Go in Jesus' name. You have no choice. You will go in Jesus' name. Now, come out all falseness. I come against every false gift, especially false tongues and false prophecy and false teaching. I bind those and I cancel those out. And every demon that's come into us through false tongues and false teaching, come out. I break the agreements. I break the agreements that we've had where we've agreed with people, where we've agreed I break the written agreements. I break the spoken agreements. And I send those demons back, and I cast you out. I pull you out. I forcefully eject you in Jesus' name. I break every contract. I break every contract that we've made with Satan. I break the contracts that we've made with Satan where we've agreed with Satan rather than agreeing with God. I break those contracts in Jesus' name. I break those contracts right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I break every covenant that we've made with Satan. I break every covenant, every contract, every agreement where we've agreed with Satan rather than agreeing with God. And I come against all the lies and lying, deceit and deception. Come out, lies and lying, deceit and deception. I come against every force of evil. Every force of evil, every force that brings us into falseness. I come against all the falseness and all the tormenting spirits, the spirits that torment us, that tell us that we have to agree with everything that's said from the pulpit. I come against those tormenting spirits, and I come against those spirits of shame and embarrassment and guilt. Come out. Come out, spirits of shame, embarrassment, and guilt. I come against those. I bind your power, and I cast you out in Jesus' name. Now go. Go. Shame, embarrassment, and guilt. I bind your power out in Jesus' name. I come out. Shame, embarrassment, and guilt that has to do with where we I come against all the coercing. I come against spirits of coercion. Come out, spirits of coercion. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out, spirits of coercion. We bind your power and we drive you out in Jesus' name. Now go. Go, the spirits of coercion. Where we've been coerced into doing something. Come out, where we've been browbeaten into doing something. I come out the spirit of being browbeaten. Put down. I come against all those spirits of shame, embarrassment, and guilt. Where we've been put down, we bind your power and we cast you out in Jesus' name. Now go. Go. Come out of us right now in Jesus' name. You have no choice. You will go in Jesus' name. Come out. Move it, demons. You're defeated. You're defeated. You have no choice. Now come out. Everywhere we've been coerced, where the pastors have forced us, where they brought shame and embarrassment, where they put us down in public, where we don't agree with them, where we don't agree with the falseness, we bind you and we cast you out in Jesus' name. Now go. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. And I come against all spirits of covetousness and greed and stealing and theft and kleptomania. And we bind you and we cast you out in Jesus' name. Now come out. Covetousness, theft, greed, theft, kleptomania, we bind you and we cast you out in Jesus' name. Now we break your power and we command you to come out in Jesus' name. Now go. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. All these ill-gotten gains and the thought of ill-gotten gains. And I come against the demonic prosperity message. I come against that demonic prosperity message and I cast you out in Jesus' name. That's right. We command you to go. We bind your power. Come out that demonic prosperity message. Where we're looking to God to get something, where we're not looking to God to... Now come out of the people right now in Jesus' name. Now go. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, loose them and set them free in Jesus' name. That demonic prosperity message where we're looking to God like Santa Claus. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Where we don't really want to serve God, where we just want God to give us what we want in the name of Jesus Christ. Now come out all falseness in us. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against all that shallowness. I come against all that shallowness, Christianity shallowness in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out. I come against all false. I come against the false conversions. I come against false conversions where we have not really accepted Jesus Christ. I come against the deception of false conversions where we really have not repented. I stir those demons up where we have not repented. And I command you to come out in Jesus' name. I bind your power and I command you to come out. Come out where we've had false conversions, where we think we're converted. And I come against that falseness. Come out right now, that falseness, where we've had where we think all we have to do is walk up to the front and sign a card and we're saved. I bind that false conversion. I cast you out, those demons that tell us that we're converted and we're really not converted. Now come out all false conversions. Right, in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind those spirits. I bind those spirits that tell us that there's no pain in Christianity. Come against those that say there's no pain in Christianity. All we have to do is just sign a card and we're going to heaven. We can live our life. Come against those demons that tell us that we can live our life any way we want to. And we don't really have to be sincere Christians that once saved, always. I come against that false doctrine of once saved, always saved. And I bind your power and I cast you out. Now come out that false doctrine of once saved, always saved. I come against that false salvation. Come out right now in Jesus' name. Come out, spirits of false salvation. Spirits of false doctrine of once saved, always saved. We bind your power and cast you out in Jesus' name. Now go. Go, loose the people and set them free in Jesus' name. Now, be gone. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. You have no choice. You have no choice. You will go in Jesus' name. That's right, in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glow, Galiada, Kambalia, Shakumbala, Kaladaya, Shilia, Sakumbala, Kaladaya, Shela, Sakumbala, Haladaya, Shilia, Sakumbala, Kalia, Yea, Lasha, Kambala, Haladaya. Come out. Just keep on coming out, demons. Keep on coming out. We bind you and we cast you out. Come out of our sister Ruth right now. Be gone. Come out of her right now. Come out in Jesus' name. You well, praise God. That's right, in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, loose my brother. Come out. I come against demons that come in the missionaries because of the way they've been treated. Come out, the demons that come in missionaries because of the way they've been treated. All the falseness that comes into them. Oh, am I supposed to let you have
this? Oh, it's a pity, demons.
Well, you can tell you may have a good sermon with all these demons.
I think it's neat. He got himself to self-deliver for a few weeks ago.
Wow.
And you started, and I went, whoa, gee. That's why we need others.
Right. That's right.
Right.
We get a little nastier.
we're getting big.
When Derek Prince was praying for me, and he kept saying, Irma, you are so rebellious. Well, I don't know what to do. I'll just pray.
Well, praise the Lord. We've got a little nest here. Thank you, Lord. I want to give you a few more things before we close here.
I should have said this earlier. The Lord just reminded of something that he literally ordered me to do years ago. Every day, my prayer is, oh God, thank you for the truth of your word. You said if I would ask anything in Jesus' name, believing it would be done. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I'm asking you, oh God, don't let me be deceived. Don't let me be deceived, oh God.
Demon nor myself.
We need to say the right things.
Hallelujah. I've got about another 20 minutes, but I'm not going to do that. But I am going to give you some scriptures, okay? Because I want to follow this down through here where the Lord wants to go. But I want to share something with you. A few weeks ago, and I don't know how many weeks ago it was, 9 or 10 weeks ago, when I came into this, the Lord gave me this revelation. I put myself through a self-deliverance against deceptive spirits, repented, and what have you. And the Lord told me, he said, have Gene come up and do this. And I thought, and I didn't really argue with him, but I, you know, kind of went through my mind. I thought, well, now, why? And I just put myself through deliverance. I don't know if Gene's ever done that. But how many know that we need each other? Because I stood over there, and as I gave him the mic, and as I was walking over here, I began to break out in a sweat, and I wasn't hot. And I went, oops. And things started coming out. There were things that he hit, spirits that he hit. So, anyway, praise God. I'm telling you, we need each other. And self-deliverance is real, but I want to tell you something, folks. We need people to come deliver us, too, because that's an act of humility, and God give grace to the humble. Amen? All right, now, while that is going on, look real quick in John chapter 2, verse 23 to 25. And if you do much counseling with people, or even if you don't do much counseling with people, but I believe that, you know, the Gentiles are going to come to your light, you're going to end up doing a lot of counseling to people. John chapter 2, beginning with verse 23, speaking of Jesus, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of men, for he knew what was in man. Let me tell you something that has greatly helped me in deliverance and has helped me in dealing with people in my lives and dealing with rejection and hurt and the things that we all go through, is that when I came to the revelation that you will not find in the Bible any place where God encourages you to trust someone. Now let that sink in for just a moment. God says, and write the scripture down, John 17:5, God says, cursed is a person that trusts in man. Listen to these three scriptures. Write them down if you will, if you want to. Jeremiah 17:9, Romans 7:18, Luke 18:19. Luke 18:19, Jesus said, there is none good, no, not one. In Romans 7:18, Paul said approximately 23 years after he was born again, he had his Damascus Road experience, Paul said, there is nothing good that lives in me. And that was in Romans 7:18. And then the famous verse in Jeremiah 17:9, speaking of the heart of man, is desperately wicked and evil above all things. And no one can know it. Now, just follow me through here. So you are going to give to somebody. You gave to a husband. You gave to a wife. You gave to somebody. You gave them your love. And you trusted them by what our basic definition of trust is that you'll never hurt me, you know, what have you. So I trust you, I give you my love. And I think what you just did, you just gave your love to somebody whose heart is desperately wicked, evil above all things, there's nothing good that dwells in them, and you expect them to never hurt you. And when you have these high expectations of people, you're going to fall. But when you're on the same level of Jesus, when you don't trust them, you don't doubt them, you don't anything, you just love them. Because you are told to do that. You are told, love them. And I want to tell you, you need to share that word with people. I have seen people protect themselves in a godly way because they quit trusting people. You see, when you love people, and it's just the way it is, you're going to end up on a cross. But when you trust people, you'll defend yourself. And you'll get hurt. And what you do at that point, if you don't forgive them, what you will do at that point, you will begin to try and get them to pay you what they owed you because you trusted them. But if you go into any relationship, you go to a church, how many people have been hurt in a church? Why? Because they trusted these people. You trusted people whose hearts were desperately wicked. Nothing good lived in them. And you said, here, I come to your church and I just lay myself bare before you that you will never hurt me. What the Lord said was, go to that church and just love them. And you'll have to bear a cross probably. Somebody will hurt you someplace along the line. But you know, if you don't start out trusting them, you're just neutral. I just love you. If you start out, you've got no place to fall from. What about forgiveness? Well, let me do that. Let me skip that. Remember what Paul said. Don't miss this. 2 Corinthians 1:8-9. What was God trying to do to Paul? He was trying to bring him to a place where he no longer trusted himself, right? Paul had to go through things that were overwhelming to him, to where God said to him, Paul, you can no longer trust yourself. And Paul said, I finally came to that place, to this degree. Now listen carefully. George kind of addressed this morning a little bit. Listen carefully. Paul said, I got to the place. God said, in effect, Paul, as soon as I can get you to quit trusting in yourself, then I can get you to trust in me, the God who raises the dead. Then I can get you to start dying to self, and then the life of Jesus can be manifested through your body. That's the goal that God wants to bring us to. That's the place to where Jesus' life, not your life, is manifested through your body. Now listen to what Paul said. He came to a place where he says, I gladly boast in my infirmities. Why? So that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, in needs, persecutions, distresses for Christ's sakes. For when I am weak, I am strong. Now, let me tell you the difference. When I get a flu or I get a viral infection, I get a cold, I go, Oh, gee. Oh, why am I going to... Oh, God, please take this away. And I start whining. I get some kind of distressful problem. You know what Paul did? Now, listen to what he said. I'm just telling you what the man said. He says, I take pleasures in these things. When Paul got up and he had the sniffles, he went, oh, praise God, I got the sniffles. Oh, my... Oh, I got the flu. I think I'm coming... Oh, God, I wonder what you're going to do in my life now. Because, you see, when I'm weak, then I am strong. Because when I am apart from myself, when I'm crucified with self, and I'm trusting Him, His life can manifest through me. Okay? Now, what about forgiveness? Very quickly, I would like for you to turn back to your Bibles. Write this verse. Here's a marvelous verse. Psalms 146, 3 to 10, talks about trusting in men and then trusting in God and what God will do. But now understand this. Please understand this, and you might need to get prayer for this. If you have a tendency to trust people, listen carefully. Jeremiah 17 and 5 says that when you trust people, when you trust man, cursed is the person that trusts man. There's a curse built into trusting men. There's a curse built into that. We are not to depend on men for anything. We're to depend on God. When you say, oh, I'm trusting General Motors to make certain that my retirement. No, you're not. There's a curse built into that. Trust God. If God moves in General Motors to give you a retirement, well, praise God. But don't even think about General Motors. God, I put all my trust in you, God. Okay? Now, I do want you to do this very quickly. Turn back to Daniel chapter 2. This is really important that you take this with you. And I want you to see this very quickly. And I can move through this real quick. Daniel chapter 2. Nebuchadnezzar has a vision. God explains the vision to him. He said, these are the last four kingdoms. And Gene, I would challenge you on something here, Gene Moody. You're an expert witness and you investigate things. I would challenge you to investigate verse 44. Or verse 43, I'm sorry, 43 and 44. And here's the reason why. God tells us who the last kingdom on planet Earth is. The first kingdom was Nebuchadnezzar, one after him. The fourth kingdom is Rome, or at least I believe it is Rome. But the last kingdom that's going to rule planet Earth, he tells us in verse 43 what it is. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another just as iron is not mixed with clay. Now, if you understand what that means in verse 44, in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will begin. He will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Now look up, if you will, at verse, where is it here? Let me find it. It's in, come on. Lord, where is this verse? Oh, in verse 35. My translation says about the four kingdoms, verse 35, the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that, listen, no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. All right, now go over to verse 43. What is the last kingdom? Now, I'm gonna tell you what I have discovered the last kingdom is going to be. It's going to be a democracy. That's what it means. The kingdom is mingled with the seed of men. That's democracy. The last kingdom of the church age, Laodicean church, Laodicea means the people's rights. Listen carefully. God never intended. You read Romans 13 and you'll see how God intended man to be ruled. He intended man to be ruled, and he set people in charge of people. That's his way. People that are anointed to be over people. And it was for our good, not for our evil. The last kingdom will be a kingdom that will just any Johnny come lately, any Arkansasian, Bill Clinton, and I'm just saying this man is not anointed to run this nation. He comes from the seed of men. And the word men there means inferior. It's an inferior man. It is not someone that is anointed. It comes from among the people. The Laodicean church, the last church, I believe the last church, a picture of the last church, is a church where the people rule. And folks, that's not how God intended it to be. And that's what I would challenge you to do, Gene, is to investigate that and see if that seed of men is not indeed speaking about very possibly a democratic type of, not a republic, not a sovereign, but a democratic type of rule where people rule. But be that as it may, now listen to this. Then in verse 44, what is going to bring that entire system down? The gold, the silver, the bronze, it's a kingdom. It's a kingdom where it is not left to other people. It's going to have a king, and God's way to rule in the lives of men, where he speaks to a king, and the king he distributes out then the rule of God, and it's for the good of people. That kingdom will have a king, and that's Jesus Christ. But listen, it is the kingdom that is going to crush the system of the world. And you are part of that kingdom. Now, here's what I want you to know. We have been talking about dying to self and letting. I wish I could take time. I see somebody kind of I wish I could take time to go into that, but I can't right now. But check it out for yourself. Read it. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. But when is all that going to happen? We've been talking about dying to self, not trusting ourselves, trusting Him, carrying our cross daily, letting the life of Christ come through. When is all this going to happen? Daniel chapter 12. This is speaking about the end time. Verse 6. And one said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? Then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it shall be for a time and times and half a time. Now listen. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. This is what God revealed to me. I have got to destroy all of your power. And I'm going to do that. Because once my people, all of their power is destroyed. And that word power there is yod. It's the same word that's used in Genesis when man put forth his yod to take of the tree of life and eat and he would live forever, God said. It's the power of man. It's soulish power. It's physical power, but it's not God's power. And God says, when I've destroyed, when I've completely shattered all of their power, they'll have one place and one place only to look, to me. And when that happens, then the manifested life of my Son will come through them. And then the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our God and of His Lamb, of His Son. People, here's why you're fortunate to be here. You don't have to wait till that hour to have God completely shatter you. Because I want to show you something else in Daniel chapter 11 and close with this. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, in those days, those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. If you will devoid yourself of your power, if you will pick up your cross and die daily, John, and start now, fight with everything you have to lay your power down and let His power come through. When this day comes, and when God is having to go through His church and shatter the power of a lot of His people, you can be one of these people who will do great exploits because you know your God. And the reason why you know Him is because He's been flowing through you, because you decided to pick up your cross, follow Him daily, die daily, and let the manifested life of Jesus Christ come through. Amen. How many feel like they got some help this afternoon? I thank you, Brother Gene, very much for that. Would you please stand? We're going to close with a word of prayer. So much more I want to go over, but, well, hey, God did what He had to do, so I'll just have to sit back. How many rather have God do what he has to do than what John wants to do? Thanks a lot, Tom.
Amen.
Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, we thank you for what you did here this afternoon. Lord, Lord, I wasn't able to give the whole message, but Lord, you have the whole message and more. Lord, would you please, over the next few days and weeks and months, would you please give these people this message? Would you instill within them the reality and the need, the desperate need to die to self, to be crucified with your son Jesus, that his life might come through and be manifested in their world all about them. Father, give them the courage and the strength. Give them the love. Let them know that love, courage, and strength. You've already given it to them. Lord, and help them, cause them, make them, bring their world to subdue it and have dominion over it. Lord, teach them how to be aggressive. Teach them, Lord, all they need to know. Lord, mightily anoint them. Send them forth, Lord, into their worlds, teaching others. Lord, cause your church to rise up in these last days. Lord, you know my prayer. Lord, completely shatter my power so that all these things can come about, that your son Jesus might be glorified and the kingdoms of this world might become the kingdom of our God and of his Lord and of his Christ and of his son, Jesus Christ. Father, bless the food tonight. Father, I pray for travel mercies for Manny and I as we go home. Lord, I just impart a blessing to these people, your blessing, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for allowing me to be here this week. I thank you, great God, in Jesus' name. Bless the food. Amen.
This is the end of this. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.